You're listening to a podcast from Every Nation Macau. We know that God does great things. Not only did He call and save us, but He's also showing us the beauty and privilege of participating in His kingdom. So what is God calling you to do? This series is titled Greater Works.
All right, come on, give the Lord a hand for that. You see, many nations are still in lockdown and many restrictions, but how many of you know that the gospel will not be locked down? The gospel will never be hindered, amen, from advancing. So that's why, again, come on, church, I want you to really stir up yourself. Get ready, because something great is going to happen. God is expanding His kingdom. You know, here's my personal take during the past 2 days of Build Conference. Of course, we have heard that, you know, that word expansion many, many times. And like what Pastor Scott Dalmo said, we have to be ready. Okay, tell the person next to you, are you ready? Okay, get yourself ready. And also, I like what Pastor Steve mentioned, that we can reach other nations without even traveling to other nations. Amen? By reaching out to the international students in our campuses. That's why, you know, I'm excited about our campus workers, those of you who are involved reaching the students, because we have this enormous opportunity to be able for us to touch nations here in Macau. Amen. Joella, you've been, you know, you're smiling, but you see the, you know, if you imagine when you preach the gospel to somebody, okay, from the outside, okay, and this person respond, and once that person go back to his or her nation, how many of you know that God can use that person? Amen? Even if he's still young, you know, there is no limit when it comes to the gospel and how God will use us. Amen? And also, you know, Apostle mentioned that as we respond to doing God's work, it gives us greater awareness of God's presence and passion to attempt great things for God. How many of you know that as you respond to God, you know, the Spirit of God will come upon you in greater measure. He will anoint you. You know, you will be able to experience what God can do through your life. How many of you know that we are channels of His power? Amen? So God wants to use us. Okay, that leads me also to what I'm going to share today regarding the presence of the Spirit. Okay, this will be my topic for tonight. The second week, okay, we are already on the second week, the presence of the Spirit of God. So last Sunday, I talked about the purpose of greater works. And again, next Sunday, the power of the collective. And fourth week, the potential expansion. Now, the topic on the Spirit is so vital in the life of every believer. How many of you know that? Can you imagine living your life without the presence of God? Living your life apart from the Holy Spirit. Of course, we won't be able to make it to our destination without the Spirit of God. Amen? We need the Holy Spirit, because without Him, we won't be able to last. We won't be able, just like even the disciples during the time of Jesus. That's the reason why Jesus, after He ascended to heaven, He promised what? He promised the Holy Spirit, because he knew for certain that without the Spirit of God coming upon the believers, okay, they will not, you know, they won't be able to make it to their destination. They won't be able to carry out the very purpose of God. It is impossible to accomplish the Great Commission without the Spirit of God. That's why Jesus said, even in Acts 1:8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. So what is the purpose? Okay? The purpose is not just for us to enjoy the presence of God. Of course, one of the reasons why Jesus gave us the Holy Spirit so that we can commune with Him. Okay? We commune with God via the Holy Spirit. But more so, when it comes to expansion, when it comes to advancement of the kingdom of God, we need the Spirit of God who propels us and makes us become effective ministers of the gospel. So the Holy Spirit gives us the ability to do the works entrusted to us by God. Okay, how many of you here are grateful because you know that the Spirit of God is inside of you? Amen? I had my, you know, I got saved because of my personal encounter with the Holy Spirit. Because prior to that, I mean, I mentioned this many, many times here in this church. Prior to that, I was stubborn. I was a self-righteous person. But one night, the Holy Spirit barged in into my bedroom and spoke to me that really brought change into my life. And that really changed also that trajectory or direction of my life. So that is the same Holy Spirit that is working in every person here tonight. Amen? So again, we have to be a living testimony. As we are the carriers of the Holy Spirit, you know, people in the world would experience what you have. Just by watching you, but by just seeing and being around with you, they would really experience, you know, God through you. Okay, we are carriers of the presence of God. That's why, you know, I tell you, keep yearning for God. Okay, when we talk about the Holy Spirit, by the way, we are talking about a person. The Holy Spirit is a person. That's why, of course, you have heard the word Trinity. Okay? That means when we talk about God, we're talking about the triune God. That there are three personalities in Godhead: the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we commune with God, again, like what I've said earlier, through the Holy Spirit. So you and I can talk to the Holy Spirit because He is a person who listens to us, who speaks to us, who directs us, who helps us in times of need. That's why we need the Holy Spirit in our lives. Now, how does the Spirit of God works in our life? Now, there are three things I would like to mention as we move forward with my sermon tonight. The first one is, He changes us. The Holy Spirit changes because one of the reasons why God send us the Holy Spirit is for us to be changed, to be more like Jesus. Amen? We are being transformed into the likeness of Jesus. That's the reason why we are in this, what we call sanctification process, where the Spirit of God is changing us and conforming us into the likeness or to the image of Jesus. And that is change. Real change starts when you receive Christ, because the Spirit of God will come upon you. You cannot change yourself. You need the Holy Spirit to change you. But not only the Holy Spirit will change you, but also the Holy Spirit will chastise you. There will be pruning. John chapter 15. Jesus said, "Remain in me." That's the reason why Jesus, how many times he used the word remain or abide. Because when Jesus said, "I am the vine, you are the branches, and my Father is the gardener." What does the gardener do? The gardener, not only to nurture, but also to prune. Okay, the Holy Spirit prunes us. That's the reason why sometimes it's painful. Right? You go through some difficulties in your own life and you are clueless about God. I thought Christianity will be easy. But how come all these troubles I'm facing in my life? Because God is doing something. Changing you. And that is one thing that the Holy Spirit does. He chastises us. And lastly, He charges us. And I love this because of the assignment that you and I have. He charged us for the purpose of the assignment that Jesus bestowed upon us. Before He ascended to heaven, Jesus said to His disciples in Matthew 28, "Go therefore to all nations and make disciples. Go and make disciples of all nations. That is the charge. Amen? So He called us to do the work that He assigned us to do. So the works of the Spirit are propelled, again, by the ministry of Jesus. Now, why do we need the power of the Holy Spirit? Why do we need His power? You know, try to imagine Christian life without the Holy Spirit. I mentioned that earlier. Once again, think about that. Go back to my question earlier. Imagine your life. Okay, trying to do the purpose of God without the power of the Spirit of God. What will happen? You know, it's like the electric power is cut off in your house. Imagine for 1 month without electricity. Can you do you imagine that? Living in a place like this without electricity for 1 month? And you cannot use your heater. You can't use your, hot water. Well, it would be dark in the evening. It's difficult to move around. You will be groping on the dark. You cannot even watch your TV, the television, or you cannot use your internet because your internet needs a modem that plugged into a socket. And some of you couldn't even survive 1 day without social media. So there is this discomfort, isn't it? When there is no electricity. You see, the book of Acts started with no power. With no power. And that's the reason why when Jesus ascended, before He ascended to heaven, He told His disciples in Acts chapter 1, stay in Jerusalem until you are endowed with power. Stay in Jerusalem until you receive the gift, the promised gift that the Father talked about. And He was referring to the Holy Spirit. So they waited, and while waiting, they were praying, they were interceding. The church would gather around 120 of them in one place. Can you imagine that every single day they would wait until they received the promise of God? Until Acts chapter 2, when the Bible said, suddenly the Spirit of God came upon them in the day of Pentecost. And all of them were filled by the Holy Spirit. They started speaking in tongues, and they became so bold in sharing their faith. They were bold. You know, Peter seized this opportunity to preach the gospel. And the Bible says that there were 3,000 men who responded. Imagine, in one encounter, one shot, one encounter with people, with the lost, 3,000 people, 3,000 men, actually the Bible said, 3,000 men gave their lives to Jesus, they got baptized, and they were added to the church. Was it because of Peter? You know, Peter, if you look back, you know, during the time of Jesus, when Jesus was still there, he was a coward. But something happened inside of him when the Spirit of God came upon him that gave him not only boldness and confidence, but also when he started speaking or sharing the gospel, people got saved. People responded to the message of the gospel. Now, in Acts chapter 3, Peter and John, through the power of the Holy Spirit, healed a lame man. And because of that also, he got into trouble. He was seized, apprehended, and put to jail by the religious leaders. And you can read that. Okay, he was jailed. But what happened to those who heard the message? What happened to those people who heard? You know, we're not talking about chapter 2 here. We're already talking about chapter 3 of the book of Acts. In chapter 2, 3,000 men received Christ. In chapter 3, what happened here? People also responded to the message. Now, what role does the Spirit or the Holy Spirit have in our conversion? The first one is this. The Holy Spirit convicts sin and leads us to believe. He convicts our sins. And you can see that in Acts chapter 4, from what we read earlier, it says, but many who heard the message believed. Everybody say believed. So the number of men who believe, you see, they're just counting the men. The leaders of the house, they're counting the men. The number of men who believe grew to about 5,000. From 3,000 now, it became 5,000 men who were added, who believed the Lord. How did that happen in the first place? Because the Spirit of God convicted the hearts of these men, and they gave their lives to Jesus. So it is the Spirit who opens the hearts of the lost to receive Jesus. It is the Spirit of God. He uses the message of the gospel to turn the hearts of the people to Jesus. You and I, we are just vessels for God. Amen? We communicate the message to the people, but it is the Holy Spirit who convicts people. It is the Holy Spirit that would make people believe in Christ. So whatever the circumstances, here, again, going back to this story, Peter and John, they were incarcerated, or they were apprehended by the religious leaders. They were jailed. So for us, you have to understand that whatever the circumstances, the message of the gospel must be preached and heard by those who needed to be saved. In other words, nothing should stop the gospel. Nothing should stop the spreading of the gospel. Whether we are in lockdown, or maybe you are living in a restricted nation. How many of you know that there are still restricted countries today for the gospel, for Christianity? That's like in the mainland. They have restrictions. See, Ukraine, of course, is now being invaded by Russia. And currently we have seven Every Nation churches in Ukraine. Seven Every Nation churches who are asking for prayers. So our job, at least as part of this movement, is to continue to pray that God will intervene and bring peace to Ukraine and even, of course, in Russia. Amen? We have to continually intercede, particularly for the church, particularly for the people, that God would protect them. Amen? But you know what? How many of you know that God is able to, you know, he can use this situation to turn the hearts of the non-believers. Even in, you know, especially during this time, people are in, you know, desperation. They're crying out, of course, for help. They're crying out for, because of the uncertainty. And God can use that opportunity to turn their hearts so that they would believe Him. So, likewise, God can turn our worst situation into a God-ordained moment. Maybe you are here tonight. You came here and you are bombarded with so many problems, so many issues in your life. And you're looking for a solution. You see, like what I have said, why don't you ask the Holy Spirit to help you? Because He is our helper. One of the names of the Holy Spirit is the helper. He is our advocate, the one who mediate for us. Ask Him, and I tell you, he will not disappoint you. He will help you in your time of needs. You see, here's the truth. We will continuously encounter troubles while we are still living here on earth. That's a fact. Right? We won't be able to avoid all the troubles that would come. You know, sometimes there are troubles. The reason why we are in trouble because we have done something that is really stupid. Okay? Because of the decisions that we make. But there are also, you know, there's also problems. It's because of direct result, because of the things that are really happening. Okay? Because of what's happening here on this world. But again, we've got to rely on the Spirit of God. Amen? You see, there will be a lot of conflicts that we must learn to overcome in our own life. And the reason why sometimes God would allow conflicts to come our way so that we will know how to deal with them. Not on our own strength, not on our own ability, but as we put our dependence upon God. Amen? God wants us to put our dependence upon Him. Like what I've said, there are things in this world that we cannot avoid because there's always this conflict between evil and good, between the Spirit of God and the spirit of this world and the spirit of the enemy. That's why the Holy Spirit, when we talk about the Holy Spirit confronts the works of darkness. And you can see that also here in verse 7, from what we've read earlier, says here they had Peter and John. We're talking about the religious leaders. They had them brought before them and began to question them. In other words, they were interrogating Peter and John. You know, they were supposed to be the one siding with the disciples because they were religious leaders. But how come they were coming against the disciples? They have the truth. They have the Bible, but they don't know the truth. That's a problem. And so there is this clash. There's this confrontation. And how many of you know that as followers of Jesus, we cannot avoid spiritual conflict? Amen? Or conflicts. Because we are coming against the spiritual forces that tries to topple God's agenda on earth. You see, God has agenda in this world. And what is God's agenda? Again, to save the lost. But what is the devil's agenda? You see, the Bible says in John chapter 10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants destruction. That's what's happening with all these wars. Because again, he comes to destroy and take as many as he can with him in the lake of fire or in hell. But the work of God is in a conflict and being resisted by the forces of darkness. But you see, Matthew 11, look at this scripture. It says, from the time of John the Baptist until now, violent people have been trying to take over the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God by force. And of course, that's the reason why you can see that happening in many countries today. There are persecutions happening. People who would punish Christians people who would, you know, persecute believers. That's why we have to be strong. You know, Daniel chapter 11, I think verse 32, it says there, those who know their God shall be strong and do mighty exploits. How many of you here, you know your God? Because the Bible says, those who know their God. You don't, when I say know your God, that means to say, not only that you know the name of Jesus, but you have a personal relationship with Him. Know Him deeply. Those who know their God shall be strong. In the midst of chaos, in the midst of all the things that are happening today, the pressures that come our way because of what's happening, you can do mighty exploits. You can overcome and do exploits for God. You see, this is the very reason why we need the indwelling. Indwelling presence of the Spirit to make us strong and bold. Because without the Spirit of God, how can you survive? How will you able to finish the work that God has entrusted us? It's only by the Holy Spirit. We have to be strong. We have to be bold despite the threats from the opposition. Look at verse 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, I want to highlight those words, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to the rulers. So here, Peter and John, you see, these two guys who left Jesus or abandoned Jesus after Jesus was arrested, suddenly became so confident. So what's the difference? All of a sudden, you know, they became so bold. What was the difference? The Bible said because they were filled with the Holy Spirit or filled by the Spirit of God. You see, the Spirit of God does two main things in our lives. Okay, the Holy Spirit causes us to be, and the Holy Spirit also causes us to do. When we talk about God's presence causes us to be, that means to say, again, like what I mentioned, He fashions us to be like Christ. That is Christ-likeness. But God's power causes us to do because the power of God causes us to do the will of God, do the purpose of God, talking about the works of God, to do the works of God. So God's presence turns me to be like Christ, while God's power enables me to do greater works for Christ. Amen? In verse 13, we're going to jump to verse 13, Acts chapter 4. It says here, when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, say ordinary men, they were astonished and they took note that this man had been with Jesus. So what happens as a result of the indwelling and infilling of the Holy Spirit? Okay, we're going to highlight some of the words from this verse. What happens? First, the disciples from being coward to being courageous. You see, when the Spirit of God comes upon you, you allow Him, I tell you, you will be courageous. You will be bold. What kind of disciples Jesus have before they were filled by the Spirit? You know, they were a bunch of cowards. They ran away. As a matter of fact, Peter, he denied Jesus 3 times. He denied Jesus. Here comes Peter. He used to be the most impulsive in among the disciples, but When Jesus was arrested, he denied him. Not once, not twice, but three times. But what happened after they received the Holy Spirit, they all became, again, courageous. They became bold despite the heightened persecutions. You see, our leaders in China, and I think about them, we have every nation in China, and we have hundreds of leaders right now in China, and they know that they're, you know, of course, they know that they're being persecuted, but they aren't afraid to do the work of God. They're not intimidated. Why? Because they know their God. And the Holy Spirit made them strong in the midst of persecution, in the midst of the threats coming from the authorities. It really doesn't matter for them. How many times are our leaders, you know, we've been conversing with them up until now, they would tell us reports, they would share to us what's happening. But they are not rattled. They are not cowards. I tell you, they are bold. Despite the ongoing persecution, the church continues to grow in China. You see, according to study, there are about 25,000 people who get saved in China every single day. 25,000 people. And that is in the midst of persecution. Who's doing it? Who's the Spirit of God who propels the believers to do the work? And as they responded, or as they respond, God, you know, performs and demonstrates miracles. He opens the heart of these people to respond to Him. From being cowards to being courageous. Not only that, from being ordinary to extraordinary. It says there, and realized that they were what? Unschooled. Ordinary men. That's why they were astonished. You see, the standard of the world is based on achievements. Right? If you are intelligent, or if you are rich, perhaps, or popular, people would put you to pedestal. You know, that's the measuring stick, the standard here in this world. You know, people try to prove themselves based on what they have accomplished in life. People would always look at your diploma. What did you finish in college and where? Are you sa summa cum laude? You know, they will look at your status in life. Are you wealthy? Are you rich? But you see, God's standard is, I tell you, far different from the world. When it comes to measuring stick, God uses what? Faithfulness, availability, involvement, teachable, are you teachable? And hunger. He's using faith, okay? Acronym FAITH, faithful, available, involved, teachable, and hungry. Look at yourself and ask yourself, am I faithful? Am I available for God? Am I involved? Am I teachable? Am I hungry? Maybe hungry because it's already late and you haven't had your dinner yet. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about you are hungry for God. Are you hungry for God? Is your heart yearning for more of God? I don't know about you. The day I got saved, more than 30 years ago, until now, that passion for God, that hunger, doesn't, you know, diminish. But I mean, yes, there are times that, of course, there are pressures in life, and I tend to slow down, but my passion for God, I tell you, never diminish, and will never diminish. And I will not allow it to diminish. That's the reason why every single day, you know, my step, first step in the morning, you can ask my wife, and my wife does too. Our first step in the morning is to seek the Lord. That's the first order of the day, seek the Lord. Because we want God to guide our steps. We want to hear from God. Lord, what is your marching order for us this day? Because our reliance is not upon, it's not based on our capacity or on our own ability. Our reliance is on God. More than 30 years, I've been doing that every single day. We would seek the Lord. And you know, I already memorize the voice of my wife and the kind of songs that she sings every single day. And both of us, we love them, you know. And you cannot relate. Perhaps if you will hear us singing all those old songs, you may perhaps tell us there are new songs already. Can you sing old? But we love all those oldie songs. I tell you what, it still, you know, move us today. Draws us in into the presence of God. We're not saying that we can't worship the Lord or we cannot seek the Lord using, you know, new songs. We're not saying that. But again, because these are just, you know, God uses all these songs, worship songs, to somehow stir up our heart to seek the Lord. But there is that motivation. You have to motivate yourself. God, I want to seek you each day. Don't allow that hunger to diminish. Amen? That is my challenge for all of you today. So again, from ordinary to extraordinary. If you want to do extraordinary things for God, be serious about your relationship with Him. I'm not saying this because I'm a pastor. You see, if there's something that I really wanted to avoid growing up as a Christian, is to stand in front of people. I got nervous so bad. Especially during those, you know, early years of my Christian life. And when God started speaking to me about being in the full-time ministry, you know, I was telling the Lord, Lord, let me be an usher for the rest of my life. I'm not saying that, you know, being an usher is bad. But how many of you know God is looking for faithful people? If you are faithful with the little things, God will promote you. He is the one who will promote you. And you see that, you know, in the life of Pastor Jeff and other leaders here. The reason why they became pastors is because God promoted them. So as you, because if you are faithful, God will do that. He will promote you. Seek Him first. Amen? From ordinary to extraordinary, from self-dependence to God-dependence, or from self-dependent to God-dependent. Says here, as they took note that this man had been with Jesus. What was the difference that they saw from this man? Of course, they've seen their courage. They've seen that, you know, it's the extraordinary that they can do because of the Spirit of God, but also because, again, here, they have been with Jesus. Jesus assembled a bunch of ragtags, misfits, nobodies. What was the difference again? They had been with Jesus. This Jesus spent time with them. Imagine that when they were there, when Jesus was there, still here on earth, he called them and he trained them and empowered them with the Spirit. So the Holy Spirit turned them to become world changers. You know, these are a bunch of fishermen, sinners. When Jesus found them and God made them as world changers. I want to say this, the presence of God is the catalyst for kingdom expansion and for greater works. The presence of God. That's why we need the presence of God. Again, the presence of God is not just for us to enjoy our moment with God. When you're seeking Him, in your time of devotions with Him. Of course, I love seeking the Lord. But I also love ministering to others. Because as you minister to others, you would really realize the heart of God. You will know Him better. If you read in Philemon, I think in verse 9, it says there, do not, it's like, to paraphrase it, do not stop sharing your faith to others, because as you do, you will all the more get to know Him better in your life. There's something about when you share, when you minister to other people, not only that you will find release in doing that, but also you will get to know God better. You will, because you will understand the heart of God for the lost. You will begin to understand God's heart for other people. And that's why God wants us to connect to others by sharing our faith to other people. That's why I want to leave you with that tonight. Don't stop. If you've been doing it, do it again to others. I know that some of you here, you've already tried sharing your faith to other people, and you have tried perhaps many times already, but continue doing it over and over and over again. It's a joy when you minister to other people. Let me land my message in Acts chapter 4, verse 12. It says, salvation is found. Peter was saying this to the religious leaders. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. So this is the gospel as it was presented by Peter before, again, the religious leaders. You see, Peter, in the midst of persecution, he had the audacity to preach the gospel to the religious leaders. He declared, you see, salvation is found in no one else. He was talking about the Messiah. He was talking about Jesus. He seized that moment, that opportunity for the religious leaders to know that there's only one shot. There's only one God. There's only one Savior, and that is Jesus. And for you and I today, maybe you are here tonight and you have been surrendered your life to Jesus. I want to challenge you tonight. Like what Peter said here, salvation is found in no one else. Sometimes we think that, oh, Christianity is about good works. No. That is religion. The religion would always tell you, you have to do this, you have to do that to prove yourself before God. But that is not how it is. When it comes to salvation, there's only one thing that you must do. And that is to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. put your faith in Him. Romans chapter 10 says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that He was raised from the dead, you will be saved. The key there is believe. Not good works. Good works is the product of your relationship with God. It should be the fruit of your faith in God. So don't try to prove yourself to God because you cannot. Everything. You see, the Bible says every good work is like a filthy rags before God. You see, we cannot save ourselves. Nothing that you can do to save yourself. It's only via Jesus. Put your faith in Him and you will be saved. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, it says there, but it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. Faith. Again, that word, faith. Who is the grace of God? It's Jesus. And you need to put your faith in Him. Not by works, so that you may not boast. Because if it is about work, you and I will boast about what we have done. Amen? I want us to stand on our feet. We're going to pray. I want to pray for you tonight. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you for listening. Tune in to more podcasts and give online through our website, everynationmacau.org. God bless you.